Our scripture text is taken from John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, 27 to 29. And I shall read. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Dr. Toh will lead us in a pastoral prayer and speak to us on blessed assurance.
Let us all prepare for prayer. Please spend a moment in silent meditation as we come before the presence of the Most Holy God, that this morning's worship may be very blessed to each and every one of us here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the return of this Lord's Day. We thank Thee for the joy of worship and for the company of many of Your people. O Lord our God, we beseech Thee to please send down Thy Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth and worship, to teach us, even now, how we should worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For Thou hast taught us, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, but he that hath clean hands and pure hearts. Lord, may Thou cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, as we come to Thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus and through the merit of His precious blood to cleanse and to purify. O Lord, make this hour in Thy house a most blessed and fruitful time when we can come and call Thee our Father and receive from Thee the blessing Thou hast for Thy children. So, Lord, I thank Thee for worshippers from near and far, all who have come with that heart of worship as needy people, coming to be filled with Thy grace and Thy goodness and Thy salvation, which is so wonderfully offered to us. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this city of Singapore. As we have entered into the new year with many reports of peace and prosperity that are our portion, Lord, teach us how we ought to live for Thee, even as Thou hast given us opportunity to live for Thee, that we will not live for ourselves. May Thy Holy Spirit speak to each one of us now, that we will hear Thy word, take heed, and examine ourselves and search our own hearts and ask ourselves, what have I done for the Lord who gave His all for me? O Lord, may Thy Spirit help us to look deep into our own hearts, and Thy Holy Spirit Himself will show us where we have offended against Thy holy law, where we have become worldly, lukewarm, even cold-hearted towards the things of God, where we have been covetous of worldly things, and we have not served Thee with fervent spirit. O Lord, may Thy Spirit speak to us even right now, that we will all confess the times when we have neglected Thee and we have not prayed as we ought. O Lord, cleanse this church, everyone who has come, and purify our hearts and minds, and implant in each one of us the yearning to serve Thee, that we will not live our lives to ourselves for our own benefit and advantage, but we'll consider how we ought to be witnesses unto our glorious Lord and Savior, the soon coming King of Kings, that when He appears on that day, we shall have no regrets, and we shall not be ashamed because we have heard Thy voice today. And we will go forth even as Thou hast commanded every one of us who has named, calling ourselves a Christian. We will go and be effective witnesses unto the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, bless the testimony of True Life Bible Presbyterian Church, that truly the life of Jesus may flow from here to many who are still in darkness and dead in sins and trespasses. Bless the leaders, pastor and session. Bless all the Sunday school teachers, even now with the children. May Thou grant that the word of life be made clear and simple, that little souls of children will come to the Savior, be saved, and be bonded into the body of Jesus Christ for eternal blessing. Now, Lord, hear our prayer to bless the government of Singapore with many good days and years to rule wisely over this island state, that we may be a blessing and a lighthouse. From here may the gospel shine forth to the regions beyond, through this church, through every member. And our Lord, speak to us out of Thy holy book, that we may, those who are called Christians, receive assurance of salvation, to know what it means to be saved and what it means to be a Christian. This is our prayer this morning, asking it in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I wish you all a happy new year. You know, this is the second happy new year, and there are two more comings. In Singapore, it's good that we have four times you can wish each other Happy New Year. There's the Indian New Year, Malay New Year, and the Chinese and the English. So it's good to live in Singapore, don't you think? You don't think so? I hear no response. All right. Now, I heard just now in the announcement that some of you are going to the Holy Land. Let me give you some tips, those who are going. Don't buy anything because it seems to be cheap. Okay, that's the first rule. All of them are waiting for American dollars. Buy when there is a need to buy. Number two, don't believe them. What they tell you, don't believe. Start off with a wise bargaining approach. And thirdly, if they say they are Christians, take it with a grain of salt. They know you are Christians, so do we. They want to win you, so they say, oh, we're Christians. Take it with a grain of salt. And be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and go safe, come safe. We were there last year, and so these are some of the lessons I've learned. Now, back to serious business. This morning, I've entitled the message, Blessed Assurance. Many of you have been Christians for a long time. And I want to ask you, do you know where you will go if you should die tonight? Right? It's a very, I say, crude question. Some people think it's not a good time to talk about death at New Year. Yeah? You say, I don't want to talk about death. I don't want to think about death. But I can assure you, death is thinking of you. Yeah, it's not very far. So it is wisdom, all of us. Don't say, I'm young and strong and healthy. You are not. All of us are dying. And the sooner we realize this, the better it is. It is wisdom that we think in peace, think war. Our Prime Minister has said it is a good year. And we trust him because he's very experienced. But I say, there is the word of God that tells us, when men shall say peace and prosperity, then sudden destruction will come upon them. So we must always be prepared and be wise and be warned. As Christians, we are children of light and don't live in a fool's paradise thinking, it's always be prosperity, always be well, always be healthy, and I will prosper forever and ever and ever. I say for never. You won't prosper forever. So let us ask ourselves today, are you very sure that you are a Christian? And if you are, that at the end of your Christian life, you will arrive in heaven. What is the assurance? The word assurance reminds me. I tell you a little story. I met someone. This is a story, by the way. And he says, hello, what are you doing? I say to him, what are you doing? He says, I sell life assurance. I say, really? Tell me more about it. You know, by today, my age excludes me from life assurance. That you're sure to die already. How can you assure yourself? So I'm not talking about myself. So he says he's selling life assurance. I said, what must you do? He says, you got to pay. And every month pay. And after a certain number of years, you get back what you paid. But you got to die. I said, that's right. I know I got to die. Then somebody else gets my money. So your life assurance is I got to pay you. Pay regularly, and then eventually I got to die, and somebody else gets my money. That's your life assurance. True? Any agents here? Am I telling the truth or not? I said, I am also in life assurance, but of a different kind. My life assurance is like this, different from yours. You don't pay. You pay nothing. And you get benefit. You don't have to die. You get it now. And the benefit is not to someone else but to you. And assured, absolutely assured. Now this is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. If you're a Christian, you are in the best life assurance business in the whole world. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come into that kind of policy that he gives to you. And this one is irrevocable. You cannot change it. You cannot vary it. You cannot sell it. You can just possess it. And you are very wonderfully blessed. I brought you a song, you know. his very own. It's in your program sheet, please. Here I want to assure you why we are so confident that believing in Jesus is the best thing and it cannot change. There is no risk. But because you have the Savior who loves you, you are His very own. Now, if you are His very own, how can you be lost? Now, this little chorus was left for us by Dr. Sachs 2 years ago. And it is based from Ephesians chapter 1. This is based on Bible. That your salvation is the work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The combined Trinity is involved and committed to you to save you to the uttermost. That's why you become His very own. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He has chosen us before the foundation of the world." This is the first point, right? Can you be lost? Answer is no. Because God the Father chose you. It is a mystery. But it is true because it is in God's word. Alright, He chose you. Then what else? God the Son purchased you, redeemed you with His own blood. He paid the price for you. And when you believe, the Holy Spirit sealed you. Now this is a combined action in order to make you a Christian. And you believing and trusting, you become His very own. So I want you to take this home, sing it often, and we hear the music, you will all follow me. Alright? Alright, you know the rest. Let's sing now.
His very own, His very own, wonderful grace in His word is made known. By the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own.
I think you all are singing at half strength. Right, try it better. You are His very own. Sing it from your heart. Okay, ready.
His very own, His very own, wonderful grace in His word is made known. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own.
You know, God chose you. It is an amazing fact of theology. Yes. You will know it until you read the Bible, and the Bible is so wonderful that you are a special object of His love. Can you believe it? Yes or no? Yes. Why? The Bible says so. And He sent His only Son for your sakes and for my sake to take our place as a sinless Son of God in the place of sinners, and then He went to the cross, shed His blood to pay the price for your redemption. That's why He purchased you. That having paid the price, you belong to Him. You are His. Then when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and says, you are God's own. And He seals you. What do you mean by seal? You go to the post office, normal, ordinary letters are just dropped in the box, right? But this one is special. It's registered, it's sealed. You are registered. God knows you by name and He looks after you. He cares for you. Can you ever be lost? My dear friends, let your faith be lively one. A lively faith. Everybody, every morning, first thing is thank God for salvation. I'm His very own. Singing now. Everybody, please sing.
His very own, His very own, wonderful grace. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. I'm His very own.
Excellent. Hear the ladies. Ladies, please. Ladies only. Hear the men. His very own, wonderful grace, His word is made known. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own. Now a word of warning, again from God's word. I want to warn some people here who have never really come to trust in the Lord and repented of their sins and simply just go on thinking they are Christians when they are not. And the Lord Jesus has a special word for you that is found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, and it is good we all read it together, so that there will be not one who, having heard this morning sermon, goes home and get lost. Can it be? Answer is yes. Answer is yes. But I want to read this word to you so that if there is anyone who is in that group, you will quickly get out of it and come into the salvation grace of Jesus Christ. Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. Verse 21, this is a word of warning, very necessary, so that not everyone here is truly a Christian. If there is such a person, listen. Verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. All right, this is the first warning. Dear friends, whoever you are, if you have not truly come to trust the Savior and confess of your sins and live a new life in Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to take charge of your life, you are not yet a child of God and you are in a very perilous condition. This is what this verse says. Not everyone. The day will come when everyone comes to the gate of heaven, as it were, and say, Lord, I want to get in. But it says here, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. You know how to say Lord, true. You know how to sing the songs, true, the hymns. You love them. You may even recite prayers. And you say, Lord, Lord, on that day. And listen, verse 22. It's a very serious word of warning. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Ah, who are these? Have you not preached in your name? The prophesied, read, preach. All right. Have we not preached in your name? In your name, cast out devils. Wow. This means what? Those miracle workers, preachers, evangelists, miracle workers, people who are carrying on the great ministry in the name of Jesus Christ, and they come to the gate of heaven and say, Lord, Lord. And what does the Lord say to them? Please read on. In thy name have done many wonderful works, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Who says so? Jesus. Please understand, our Lord Jesus knows the secrets of every heart. Coming to church is one thing, but what is in the heart is another thing. And He looks right into your heart. You may come here out of convenience, maybe custom, maybe hopeful, hoping that by coming faithfully, regularly, and carrying a Bible, singing the songs, that you are a Christian. I say, please, get it very clear. Coming to church, carrying a Bible, reading the Word of God, praying, singing, all these things do not make you a Christian. Do not. So please, do not bluff yourself. The Word of God says here, Verse 23. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that are workers of iniquity. So you say, then why do I come to church for? You come to church in order to hear the word of God. In order to hear the truth of God. And the truth of God is, come to the Savior and recognize yourself as a sinner. Unable to save yourself and confessing that, Lord, I am a wretched, miserable sinner. I need to be saved. I want the Lord Jesus Christ and none other to be my Savior. He only can save, no one else. Not the pastor, not the church. Please don't believe those who say, unless you are a member of my church, you cannot be saved. Please do not believe those things. All right? How can I be saved? I can be saved only by coming to the Savior and recognizing that I am in need of salvation, that my soul is lost forever, and without Jesus Christ dying for me on the cross and His blood being shed for me, I have no salvation whatsoever. Have you come to that point of belief, dear friends? You don't say, I'm a Christian, fourth generation, great-grandfather, grandfather, father, all Christians. I say, God hasn't got any great-grandchildren. God only has sons. Yes. So I want to tell you this lovingly this morning. Don't get offended, please, because what is being said is the truth. It's God's truth. It's not because my father is pastor, my grandfather is pastor, or anything else that makes you a Christian. It does not. Every one of us got to make right with God Himself. Now, I want to give you verses of assurance. If someone will ask you, if you die tonight, where will you go? What will you say? Don't say, well, I think I'll go to heaven. But you got to be very sure. And how can you be very sure? Let me ask you, do you know? How can you be sure? Answer is very simple. I am sure because God's word says so. And I put my faith in the word of God. Only the word of God can assure me that I am saved. And I will be saved. Until the day I die, I will be saved. This is the promise of Scripture. So that we can all go through our Christian life every day, progressing, advancing, going upward way to know that every day brings you nearer your heavenly goal. Now, your assurance is not in what I say, but in what God says. Yes, you must put your faith in the Word of God. I have here just a few verses, and all of them are from the Gospel of John. All right? Remember, we began reading John 10. I'm going to give you three more verses from John's Gospel. Then you all can focus. By the way, do you have a marker pen? If you're not in the custom and habit of marking your Bible, please begin today. Right? Don't say, my Bible is so beautiful, I mustn't touch it. I say, come and see. Underlining every page. You begin today, and then you begin to know God's word better. John chapter 1, verse 12. You all know that, don't you? If not, you ought to. Alright, we read it together. And mark them and remember them. As I said, only three verses. I'm not giving you 30. Don't worry, please. Only three verses. And you will remember, you ought to remember, you must remember. All ready to read John 1:12 and read loudly, please. When I preach it to the Chinese church, very loud. When I preach to the English church, very soft. I don't know why, but now change your tune to the Chinese church. Ready? John 1:12, together. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Again, please. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, did you receive Jesus Christ? Yes or no? You know that. I cannot answer for you. You can answer. You receive Jesus Christ? Do you believe in His name? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? You can say, yes, I receive Jesus Christ. I believe Him. I believe He is the Son of God. and He is the Savior of the world, and He is my Savior. What have you become? Answer here, you have become a son of God. A son. An adopted son of God. Now, if you are a son, question, will your father forsake you? Answer, impossible. All right, that's the first verse I want to give to you. If you have not learned it, today you will learn it. Yeah. I want you to be very sure, so that under any circumstances, whether adversity or prosperity, you will have this verse with you always. What verse? John 1:12. John 1:12. You say it together the last time. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them to believe on His name. Alright, this is the first verse, alright? Remember it? The next verse is the most famous verse in the whole Bible. And it is in chapter 3. Verse 16, of course. Alright. Now this one, we all ought to recite it without having to turn there, but you have turned there. Let's all say it together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not hopefully have everlasting life, but shall have. It is the present tense. It is an absolute assurance. Now, substitute your name, yourself. For God so loved the world. For God so loved everybody in the world that I, believing in Him, have everlasting life and shall not perish. Alright? Let's read this verse together once more, please. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And make it your own. Yes. Instead of whosoever, you say, but I, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, have everlasting life. Have, not shall have, not something future, something suppository, but it is absolute, is the assurance of God. That's verse number 2. Now, the next passage we read, and it is good we revise it. John 10:27-29. Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. You all who believe in me are my sheep. And the good shepherd is a wonderful shepherd. You know, a good shepherd, to him, the sheep are his life. He will never allow anything to harm his sheep. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. And you've come to trust in the Lord who is the good shepherd. And he says to you, verses 27-29, let's read together. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now you remember these three verses, please. What verses? John 10. Please mark them, and you can read them again. They will give you immense comfort. Whenever you are in doubt, whenever you are sorrowing, discouraged, unsure, come to these verses, and you will receive that wonderful, blessed assurance. Let me read to you again. My sheep, are you His sheep? You ask yourself. Do you look to Him for your daily need? The Lord is my shepherd. Is He? Of course. He is your Savior, your shepherd. And He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd will never allow one sheep to get lost. Remember the story of the 99 sheep that were saved in the fold and the one missing. What did the shepherd do in the middle of the night? He leaves the 99 and goes to look for you, look for me. That is the good shepherd. Do you have Him? That is your to answer. I can't answer for you. Do you have Jesus Christ as your shepherd? If you have, you can look to Him every day and be very sure, because He is your shepherd. You are his sheep. So verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear his voice? Do you? I don't mean audible voices in your ear that you may imagine or dream about. All right, that is exceptional. But I say every day, do you hear his voice in the written word of God? Do you read the word of God, please? This is what matters. Now we have many aids. We have RPG notes. Now recently we have the daily remembrance reading. And so many other aids. Are you reading? Yes or no? I can't answer for you. I can only urge you to read the word of God. And when you read that, that answers verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I read his word every day. I hear his voice. Do you? Now, verse 28. I gave unto them eternal life. What is eternal life? How long does eternal life last? Huh? You cannot measure it. Yes. Your life on this planet Earth may last 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Nowadays, it's not uncommon. You read the papers, people 105, 102, and the thing is good. You think it's good? I think it's no good. Yes, after a certain age, it's no good to be a vegetable just going on. Eternal life is different. Eternal life is eternal youth, eternal health, eternal life in a place where there is no trouble, no problem. Only God is there and the angels and the wonderful place called heaven. You have that. That is eternal life. You will never perish. The word never is a very strong word. You know, when we went to medical school, our professor says, students, boys and girls, in medical language, you never use the word never unless it is never. Don't tell a person you never get this disease, because the moment you say, they'll get the disease. Never use the word never unless it is never. So here is a case in point. The word of God says, you are his sheep. You will never perish. This is a promise of God. And never means never. And he doesn't change his word. In this case, you can, as they say, bet your bottom dollar. We don't bet. But you can put all your trust in this verse, John 10:28. My God says, I'll never perish because he's my shepherd. And then verse 28, the last part. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wonderful. God is holding you, Jesus Christ, and the Father. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can you imagine this? God the Father on one side, God the Son on the other side, and you in the middle, and they both hold you by the hand. This is what it says. No man is able to pluck you out of the hand of Jesus. The hand of God the Father holding you. Now this is the kind of assurance we get out of the word of God. Are you blessed knowing this word? Now that is the third part. Alright, one more verse out of John's Gospel, chapter 15. Please see, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Verses 13 and 14. And then we are through, all right? Please follow. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is to tell us again, you are purchased by his precious blood. He laid down his life for you, because he loved you. Not for any goodness in you. No other reason, except that he loved you. For no reason, except that he took an interest in you and me. And he laid down his life to buy you for himself as a friend. All right. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. A man laid down his life for his friend. I tell you a little story. In the Tale of Two Cities, Sidney Carton said to himself, my life is not very remarkable or effective. I've done nothing good. My friend is to be guillotined. You know the French Revolution, Tale of Two Cities? And Charles Evremont. Charles is going to be executed tomorrow morning. I, Sidney Carton, I will prove my love for him. Tonight, I'll smuggle myself into the prison, change places with him, which they did. Sydney took the place of Charles. Charles put on the clothes of Sydney and got out. And the next morning, Sydney Carton was executed. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man gave his life for his friend. Now Jesus did the same. He took your place, and he died for you, that you may go free. And this is the love of God for us, to send his only begotten Son. Now read this verse again, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Now, verse 14 applies. It applies to you. Are you ready? Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now here is the little catch. Are you daily walking in his ways, doing what he tells you to do? This is what proves a Christian from a non-Christian. You cannot come to church and pretend to be a Christian when you don't walk the way that God wants you to walk. Alright, verse 14. You are my friends. And if you are his friend, you are in the best situation. Anyone here is the friend of the Prime Minister? Huh? If so, you feel pretty good, isn't it? Well, here is the best. Verse 14. You are my friends, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator of the whole universe says, you are my friend, and I am your friend. Wow, what a wonderful assurance. We're talking about assurance, right? This is the assurance. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, but friends. Are you happy now to have this fourth verse? We have John 1:12, John 3:16, John 10:27 to 29, and now John 15 verse 13. Is that enough? There are hundreds more verses in the Word of God that assures you how you can be a son of God, a child of God, and never, never get lost. Amen. Now, what else is there to be said? We want to thank God for this morning's message. And I have a song here to sing with you. And it is written by a great saint of God in London. Yes, this song is called Not One Shall Be Lost. Written by a pastor in London called Joseph Hart. Please turn to song number 17. Joseph Hart was what you might call a small-time pastor, but more important, a faithful pastor, a good shepherd, looking after his flock. And he wrote this to assure his members, if you truly trust in the Lord and have come to him for salvation grace, you cannot be lost. This is what it says. You will finally be saved. You will not come up to heaven's gate and hear the Lord says, I never knew you. Go away. Go away. Never. Not one shall be lost. We are going to sing this in a moment. How good is the God we adore. Please follow. Our faithful, unchangeable friend, John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, you do so. Please do. That it applies to you. His love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. Sensitude, he's Jesus, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the one who began your salvation, the one who created and made you, and the one who is the end of your salvation to see that you come to the promised land. Whose spirit shall guide us safe home. Remember, you are his very own because the Holy Spirit seals you, marks you out, follows you all the way, and prays for you, and guards you, and keeps you safe for him. We'll praise him for all that is past. We'll trust him for all that's to come. Stanza 3. But what says our shepherd divine? For his holy word we must keep. Do you know his holy word? You cannot keep his word if you don't know it. I say you please, if you have not been in the habit of reading his word, please begin. Yes, I cannot read for you. You cannot read for me. You've got to read for yourself. All right, here it says, his holy word you must keep. Oh, find wonderful pleasure in keeping his word, because his word is life. His word is security and safety. When you read it, apply it, you will be safe and you'll be happy. This flock hath the Father made mine. I lay down my life for the sheep. Stanza number 4. 'Tis life everlasting I give. I have to remind you, it is life everlasting. Everlasting is never perishing, never ending, never unhappy. Once you are there, you will never regret it, because it is everlasting life that God gives. My blood was the price my sheep cost. Not one that on me shall believe shall ever be finally lost. This last verse is the best. You agree? Now look at that. I read that for you. My blood was the price my sheep cost. I shed my blood for you. I bought you with my blood. And how can I let you go? Because you are so precious to me. Not one that on me shall believe shall ever be finally lost. Do you really believe in your heart? In your heart, have you received the Savior? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for our Lord and Savior, Thine only begotten Son, that He shed His blood for us, took the penalty, paid the price, bore our sins on the cross. And today we, looking to Him, trusting in Him, believing in Him, receiving from Him His salvation grace, are now the sons of God. O Lord, help us that we will rejoice every day. And in that rejoicing, send us forth to tell others, to share this great gospel of salvation. Help us to love the souls of the lost, to place a value on every perishing soul, and to go and to assume that responsibility to be witnesses for Thee. Dismiss us now with that blessing, the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through this day and through this whole week. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.